Hello, and welcome to College Planning Simplified. I'm your host, Ariel Villanueva from Advantage College Planning. More than ever, people are looking for guidance to navigate through the college admissions process. On this show, I sit down with admissions reps and consultants to discuss the ideas, the opportunities, and the strategies to take advantage of so you can simplify college planning. In this episode of College Planning Simplified, I am joined by Morris Cohn-Fars, Director of Business Development for the test prep company Arbor Bridge. And if you are just learning about Arbor Bridge, they were actually just named Best Online Tutoring Service in America by Business Insider. Thanks for joining us today, Morris.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great conversation. We're going to talk today about the digital SAT. And if you're newer to this information, the College Board has shifted to a digital format. So they're changing, this is really changing how students approach the SAT. So in addition to the SAT going digital, it's going to be shorter. So we're going to talk about that today, as well as what this means for test takers. And that is why I brought the expert in for this one. So Morris, let's simplify this for our listeners. We're going to jump right in. What really prompted the digital SAT and what are the advantages for students?
Oh man, good question. I mean, so in recent years, we've really seen how quickly things can change with the COVID-19 pandemic. It sort of really amplified, you know, this move to a digital format. And we're pretty familiar with the digital format. Think the GRE, the GMAT, the digital ACT. So things have been moving digital even pre-pandemic, but the pandemic really amplified things. You know, with test center closures, it sort of kind of made it so that the College Board needed to make this change. Otherwise, they'll be stuck in the past. The test optional movement also really made it so that, you know, the College Board needed to make these changes in order to sort of stay relevant. With a shorter test and now an adaptive test, which the digital SAT is adaptive, which I'm sure we'll get to, the College Board now gets to appeal to this huge school of test takers. Another big reason that the College Board decided that digital testing might be a little bit more appealing is test security. I'm sure we all hear all the time about how, you know, some place internationally got their hands on a copy of the SAT, and when that happens, when test security comes into question, it's a huge problem. You know, we've been working with students for years at this point, and you know, students are studying really hard for this test. And if one test paper gets leaked, that could essentially mean cancellations for everyone within a district. So it's just really sad to hear. And going digital prevents that. It makes it so that students that are in the same exact test center, sitting right next to each other, can have different versions of the test. I mean, test security is not going to be an issue for a lot of these students. So those are the big reasons that the College Board needed to make this change. And then the efficiency piece. You know, think about it. The College Board needs to print all these tests, pack all these tests, ship them. When they come to a school test center, they need to be unpacked. And then once again, security comes into place. Who is this person doing the unpacking? So it's a huge efficiency play for the College Board. Now all they need to do is, you know, press play on a computer millions of miles away or 100 miles away, and that student can then take that exam. So the reason for the change to a digital test is pretty clear. It's something the College Board needed to do, and I really do think that COVID probably exacerbated that and it made it a little bit harder.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think too about when you mentioned the paper version, I never really thought about how much effort kind of goes into getting the paper version into the hands of students. But also, yeah. I remember when I took the SAT, like we had to wait weeks
until we got our scores back, because the teacher would like collect them and then they had to scan them and they have to update them into the computer. So I bet the efficiency piece is like students are going to get their scores a lot faster too.
Yeah, that too. And to think about it, it's not just the unpacking part, right? The teacher needs to collect those tests and then package those tests and then ship them back to the College Board. And think about everything that can go wrong.
Like, yeah.
So it's problematic. The College Board does say that they're going to release the test earlier. And what I mean by that is, as soon as you take the test, you'll now get your scores in about a week instead of 2 weeks. That's what the College Board says. Internationally, we've seen that the College Board is still releasing tests in the same, if not sometimes longer time periods, even though it's digital. But, you know, they just rolled it out internationally a year ago. So they're just kind of working out the kinks. And we think that the College Board is going to make it so that you can take the test and a week later, your results will come, instead of 2, 3, 4 weeks for some of the paper versions.
Yeah, that could be really helpful, especially as it relates to our seniors. They're saying, okay, what's the last time I can take the test so I get my scores back in time before I can submit them? So I'll be curious to see kind of how that plays out next year. And if students can get the test scores back a lot sooner in the future, then that could give them another option to take a test later on. So I love that. If it goes in that direction.
Hopefully a lot of your seniors aren't waiting for the last testing administration.
Well, yes.
But yeah, we feel the same way. It makes it so it sort of closes the gap for a lot of students. With test prep, we always want students to take the test at least twice. And having students wait 2 weeks to get the results back and then, you know, process that, it's just wasted time. So the shorter the window, the better it is for students.
Yeah. And listeners, you're probably wondering this, like, as we talk about timeline, when is this coming? I think this is the biggest question. When I'm always like reaching out to Mars, I'm like, when is this happening? What do I need to know? So one question that I am asked a lot from students and parents is like, will I have the choice to select between digital and paper-based for the SAT? And when I'm referencing this, I am talking about our rising junior students, right? So not our current seniors. That will be well after their testing timeline. But for our class of 2025, will students have the choice to select between the digital and paper? And then also, what does that timeline look like?
So sort of, we could jump into that. In terms of being able to select the test, you can't select whether you're going to be taking digital or paper on a specific day. Now, the SAT is going to go digital in March of 2024. And after it goes digital, that's it. There's no more paper versions of the test. It's going to be in the digital format. And once it's been released, there's just no going back. But if the student wants to take the paper-based test and they're in the class of 2025, they still have options to take the paper-based test in December. And after that, there's no going back. It's just the digital test. That being said, if you're even thinking about taking the paper-based test and you're listening to this podcast now, go to the College Board website and sign up immediately, because test centers are filling up quick. But yeah, after it goes digital in March, it's going digital. And frankly, after having taken both the paper based test and the digital test myself, I like the digital exam. I think there's nothing to be afraid of.
Did you get to take the digital SAT?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I as soon as it came out, I was on it. I took that test. I booked 2 hours in my calendar. And, I took the exam, and it's so strange to say this, but I felt so much more calm taking that test. I used to tutor the SAT, and I'd have to take these tests in order to continue working for Arbor Bridge. All our tutors are required to take the test, score within a particular range, and yearly I had to take this test. And the reading section, we're just going to jump into it. Even now, after teaching the test for like 17 years almost, I would always cut it close on the reading section. There's nothing I can do about it. Like I finish it right on time, every single time. But with the new version of the test, I had so much time left over. It was just, I felt sort of at peace. I do have a bias to teach this stuff, but I think that students are going to like the new digital format. I've already seen students taking it, and they seem to like it a lot more. I think it's a change in the right direction.
Yeah, that's great to hear from your own experience, and also to understand from a tutoring perspective for Arbor Bridge that your tutors are actively like staying engaged in the content, so they're able to support students, is really awesome to hear. Because I think that is like an added benefit.
Yeah, yeah. We actually make our tutors take tests, our full-time staff, take tests at test centers. So pre-COVID, we had, our tutors are 30, 40, 40 years old, and they'll be at test centers with, 16-year-olds trying to just dress like all hip, go incognito and take these tests. So yeah, we're pretty serious about it.
That's really funny. Those kids were probably like, what are they doing there? Are they going to college?
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good to know from like a testing standpoint, you felt calmer. And then also students will have the ability, if they want to take the paper now, but mm-hmm. emphasis on the now, because it is going to change. And the last test date for paper would be the December. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the December exam. After December, there's no other paper administrations.
Okay. And then that's SAT. So what is the cadence for the PSAT?
Ooh, okay. So the PSAT is also going to be digital, not the paper-based test. So it's nearly identical to the digital SAT. It's just a little bit easier, frankly. So the digital PSAT is now going to be, the exact same test, same Desmos calculator, same reading test, same math test, but it's going to be out of 1520. That's the big difference. So it's easier and out of 1520 instead of 1600.
Okay. And then same idea, like it's shorter as well?
Yeah. So students taking this test will now really get to experience the digital format in its full glory. They'll sit, take the test. They need to bring their own laptops, fully charged. Make sure your laptop can stay on for at least 2.5 hours, and they'll be taking that same exact test.
Okay, you brought up a great thing, and not to take us off on this tangent, but like, is the assumption that the testing locations will have chargers and like different types of chargers for different computers? What's going on there?
Yeah, do not assume that you're going to have a charger. The College Board has said this quite a few times. Listen to a few of their webinars. Assume that you can't charge your computer during the test. So come in fully charged. You have to bring your own charger. And if there is a plug, you might be able to use it, but don't assume that. That being said, during the first administration internationally, we haven't seen a ton of issues. So students came with their laptops for the most part fully charged. And we make that recommendation to all our students. Charge it before taking your test.
Okay, good, good, good. And it also makes me think about how we tell students, like, bring extra batteries for your calculator. So just a different way to charge. We're upgrading into the future. Just bring your charger with you. Okay, this is going to take me down another direction, though. Will they have enough outlets for the chargers?
They will not. No, absolutely not.
So charge your computer before.
Charge your computer. Don't assume you're going to have an outlet. Don't just charge your computer before.
Okay, sorry. I'm spiraling, but I want to make sure that I've thought this fully through, because I think our students will think that they'll be like, it's okay, they'll have an outlet, but it's probably just a normal center that has like an outlet or two, not multiple. Okay.
going to be a classroom. They'll have like one outlet on one wall. So maybe bring a surge protector or something if you're really concerned. But I would just get your laptop fully charged and walk in there.
Okay. I love that. I will be adding that in bold to my emails to my students. Okay. So we talked about the timeline and we talked about the need to have your computer charged and the digital format. But I feel like a big part of this is like how students can prepare might look different than how they've prepared in the past. So are there any specific resources or strategies that they should consider?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the College Board just released this test. You should be able to go on the College Board site. They have, I think at this point, 4 practice tests that you can take. Those are some great resources. And the strategies are changing because what we're looking at now is an adaptive test. The way adaptive tests work, or at least in the case of the digital SAT, is that the sections are going to be broken up into modules. So the reading test is broken up into 2 modules, module 1, module 2, and the math test is broken up into 2 modules, module 1 and module 2. And one of the biggest strategies that we share with students is how important that first module is, because that first module is going to dictate the difficulty of the second module, and it's going to dictate what score ranges that you can fall into. So if on the first module, you don't do too well, maybe you get a little anxious on the first module and you answer a few questions wrong and you get the lower difficulty second module on either the math or the reading and writing test, then you're going to be locked out of some of the higher score ranges. So regardless of how you do on that second module, the highest you can get is in the 550, maybe 600 range. So the biggest strategy we're sharing with students is the importance of doing very well on that first module and getting into the harder difficulty second module, because we don't want students to be locked out of, you know, specific score ranges. A lot of the new strategies have to do with the adaptive nature of the exam, and it's something that students really need to start considering.
What would you say is the biggest strategy that you share with students as it relates to that first module? Like, are we talking certified yoga teacher here, right? So like, are we talking like breath work, or what are we talking about?
No joke. That's part of it. It's just having students, you know, develop a little bit of an emotional maturity actually plays into a lot of our test prep. You have to get that student calm, deal with their own emotions, deal with anxiety, and just get into the right headspace really early on. So that's actually a huge part of it. We have a whole program dedicated toward, you know, helping students develop that emotional maturity in order to do well on the test. Beyond strategies, you got to get into the right headspace.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. I was explaining it to a student the other day from a visual standpoint. So I like drew it on my whiteboard, and I want to make sure that this would be the correct way to kind of explain it. So I said, it's like a ladder, right? So you're walking up the ladder, but if you don't make it to the top of the ladder, then there's a ceiling and you can't keep going. Is that the correct way that you would visualize it?
That's, you're talking about for the scores.
For the modules, like to be able to get to module 2.
Yeah. That's a really interesting analogy. Because
I don't know if it makes sense, no, but to me, I was like, how can I draw this for him?
So if for instance, let's say you, on the first module, you get about 50%, that's typically the marker. You get 50% of the questions wrong. That's going to throw you into the lower difficulty second module. And if you're climbing that ladder and you're answering every single question right, you get 100% on that second module, you're still going to be locked into a 550, 600 range. There's nothing you could do. There's that ceiling. It's a hard ceiling. You just can't get there. So it is a great analogy. You're going to be capped out. So that's by far the most important thing you can be telling the students. Keep using that analogy. It's great. Just
okay.
You want the higher ceiling. So get into the second module.
And I won't use words like they're going to throw you off of the ladder.
No, you're going to stay on the ladder, but you're going to be capped out. You're going to hit the ceiling really quickly. It's a good analogy, and students just need to get into that second module, that higher difficulty second module. I mean,
is this something that we're going to see develop into like testing across the board, adaptive testing? Like, I feel like once it's here and people see how great it is, like, is this going to be something that's going to take place in the school system?
So a lot of people, when they first hear about adaptive, a lot of the, like, we've been talking to a lot of parents and we've been holding a lot of webinars, and we always get the same question when we bring up adaptive testing, and it's, how is that fair? I think adaptive testing is incredibly fair and incredibly just. And what it's doing is it's making it so that these tests are less burdensome for some students. You know, who wants to sit there for 4 hours taking this test when, you know, these adaptive tests that are getting smarter can help a student take a shorter test and get the same score? And when I mean shorter score, I mean the same score, I mean the same score. I've had students take the paper-based SAT and a couple weeks later take a digital test, you know, our test or the College Board test, and their scores are nearly identical. So whatever the adaptive test is doing, so I think it is a very fair test, and it's just making things easier on students. If you could get the exact same score on a shorter test, why not?
Yeah, I love that. Okay, last question is, and when I called you the other day, I was like, but I need to know this, right? Like, will colleges or universities super score across formats? So if a student takes the paper-based in the next few months before that last December one, and then takes a digital test in March, will they super score those?
Good question. So, I mean, I have data to sort of support the fact that students are doing identical across test formats for the most part. And the College Board is encouraging colleges to super score across test formats, given that piece of data, right? That the students are scoring very similarly across formats, and the adaptive nature is doing a good job. That being said, that's going to be the choice of the individual college to make. So the College Board is making that recommendation, and we're hearing from a lot of colleges that they're going to accept super scoring across test formats, but that's still the decision of each individual college to make. My take on it is I think colleges are going to accept both, and they're going to allow super scoring across digital formats and the paper-based format. But once again, I would, you know, talk to your college counselor, go to a couple of websites, and they'll have the information and let you know if they are going to allow you to super score across exams. But yeah, I think they're going to. I just, you know, want to make sure that crossing my T's and dotting my I's and not speaking out of turn.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Like, we're going to have to wait to see what the individual college is, really similar to like test when they released about test optional. We're all kind of like sitting around waiting. This will just be one of those things that we're kind of waiting on to be released.
We're just going to be
waiting. That's okay. Yeah.
Waiting game. Yeah. But I have a strong inkling. 95%, they're going to accept that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you heard it here, listeners. Yeah. We are going to hold him to that.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen, you could send me an angry email, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure they're going to accept it.
Okay. So speaking of email, not your specific email, but you are just a powerhouse in the test prep company game. Arbor Bridge is, I was so excited to see that y'all were named a top online prep company. That's great. So yeah. For our listeners who have just learned about the digital SAT and they're also interested in test prep for their students, where can they find out more about Arbor Bridge?
Well, they can go to arborbridge.com, check us out there. They can email me directly, morris@arborbridge.com, and I'd be happy to chat with you and make sure that, you know, we're setting you up appropriately. Whichever avenue you want to reach us, reach out, info@arborbridge, morris@arborbridge, just go to our website, give us a call, happy to help.
You just invited my own listeners to your inbox, just so you know.
email me. I'd be more than happy to, you know, work through 7,000 different case studies.
For our listeners, I'll post Arbor Bridge contact info in the show notes and direct a link as well. So that could help you get in contact with Morris a little sooner. Thank you so much for taking the time today to share this information with our listeners.
Of course, anytime. Always here. Happy to help.